Some of you are new. And what we do here basically is we go through the Torah almost verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And the reason why we do this is for us to be able to see what is written. And also very helpful to show you, to teach people how to search the Word of God. So we are in the book of Genesis, and we are in chapter 21. Now this particular chapter has an awful lot of information. There is no way am I ever going to cover it in this session. I will not be able to finish it in the next session, so I got at least three sessions of this chapter 21. It is probably one of the most prophetic chapters that we have, and one of the most prophetic chapters we have in the book of Genesis. Genesis is probably, like I always said before, it's not in Genesis, doesn't begin there, doesn't begin Reshit. The Bible has no connection, but everything in the Word of God comes from after Genesis. It's always connected to the book of Genesis. All of them. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the way to the book of Revelations. Everything is connected to the very first book. And so I go into quite detail into the book of Genesis because it helps us to be able to have a picture as we go along all the way into the New Testament. And so we have a picture, an idea of what's taking place. And today, we're not going to get too very far, I'll be honest with you. But chapter 21, I would like someone to read the first verse loud.
I'll do it.
All right.
Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him.
All right. A lot of words. And those basically went to two sentences. That's fine. Now, remember, every time I start with a chapter, I center in on the first chapter, first verse, because it kind of introduces and explains what's going to be going on. What is it in the very first verse in some of your translations? He said to take note. Interesting terminology. Does anybody else have another word?
Visited.
Yes.
Visited.
All right. Any other word?
Remembered.
Yeah. Okay. This is the first time the word shows up, by the way. Of course, you know what it means. We got to find out why it shows up in the Bereshit, shows up in the very beginning. Now, it's very interesting. This is a very interesting thing because certain things are being said, and I'm going to read it, which I have from the King James, and Yahuwah, visited Sarah, as he said. And Yahuwah did for Sarah as he had spoken. Now, what did he do? Open her womb. What else?
Conceived.
He what?
Conceived.
Conceived. All right. Okay, the word visited is a very fascinating word. It's translated in different places in your Bible. But it's a very interesting thing. It does have a connection with the second verse, the appointed time. Technically speaking, this word does not mean visited. It's more closely to the word numbered. It's more used as numbered. Now, in our world, numbered has a different meaning. But when we look at this word, we try to find out, why is it visited? I mean, did he go down and say, "Hi, Sarah, how you doing?" No, he came down and he spoke at a specific point in time. He did not... Be careful what I'm saying here now. He was not up in someplace else. And this just happened to Sarah. He came and he numbered her. He began to appoint her. So now another word that also is translated in your translations, that he appointed her. So when he came to, quote, visit, he appointed her, or he set her. He did something with her. Very, very, keep in mind, what does the word, some of you know, what does the word Sarah mean? I'm sorry, what?
Princess.
Okay, let's get more specific.
Lady.
Called a lady. It's a title that's of very significant importance. And she's the only one that's got that title. Sarah is meaning someone, it comes from the feminine word is Sarah. The masculine word is Sarah. Sar. Meaning Lord, or meaning, we have it up here, meaning prince, ruler, king. So she's in that realm. And ancient England, when they used the lady, they didn't talk about every female was a lady. A lady was a title. A lady was a position of honor and respect and to look up to. And so in this situation with Sarah, she is a lady to be honored, respected, and looked up to. She wasn't just an ordinary person. Right, she was one who had, in God, had appointed her, numbered her, assigned her that name. Now, we come into this point and we say, what does it mean? It tends to be numbered or to appointed or to be appointed and or to visit. So when he went and visited Sarah, he gave her an assignment. Have you ever thought about that? He gave her a job. He gave her a function. And she accepted it. All right? All right, now, let's go to Exodus. So would you get to understand about numbers for a moment? Exodus 30, verse 13. Same word is used here. Exodus chapter 30, verses 13. These they shall give everyone that passeth through them that are numbered. Half a shekel after the shekel of sanctuary. Oh, my man. Among them that visit. Is that what it says? Number them that are appointed. So the word now, we've got to figure out what is it in this word that God has done. It actually has a direct relationship way deep in the future. Because she was appointed. Okay, when you add a shekel, put a shekel in the sanctuary, it's a numbered, it's appointed to do something. It's set aside for a specific thing, not just anything, but it was used for the place of the holy place. The, quote, expenses, should we say, or whatever it takes to make the tabernacle and everything else work. In verse 25, chapter 38, the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation. That's interesting. The silver of them that were, well, we want to use their visit. Doesn't fit, does it? But numbered. Now all of a sudden there's a number being taken place. Now we start doing some counting. Now, what is it that we see with Sarah? We see a beginning of a number, account. All right? And we'll get into Isaac when Isaac comes. Now, in Numbers 1, verse 3, from 20 years old and upward, they that are to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. There's the same exact Hebrew word. They are to be appointed. They are to be set to do a function, to go to war. So now we have a little bit of clarification that when the Sarah, her name was changed to to being the lady that is responsible in charge, she also has been given a function, a job. As we see this, I hope we can understand the rest of the chapter as we go. I will not finish it today. There are certain things that she said that uphold the appointment that she was given. All right? And of course, verse 2, he says that Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God, that's the Moed, appointed times. Isaac was not just born typical, 12 months later or 9 months later or whatever it was. He was appointed at a specific Moedim, a specific time. Now, we have to ask ourselves some questions. And I want you to think about this for a moment. In the book of Genesis, in the third chapter, we have a scene about a tree. Now, it says that the Lord came in the cool of the evening. All right, now why did he come in the cool of the evening? And who was not there? Adam was not there. Now, the Hebrew word for Adam, where are you, wasn't a statement of saying, where are you? No, it's like when you have a child, and they're supposed to be in the room cleaning it up, and you go up the room and he says, let's not say, Betty, where are you? No, you're not saying much of that. You're supposed to be right here cleaning your room up. Where are you? And that was the statement which God was saying. That Hebrew phrase, where are you, is not a statement. Oh, I don't know who you are. Where are you at? You disappeared. No, he was to have an appointed time with the Creator of heaven and earth. That time in the cool of the evening was a scheduled time. Right? Now, we go on to Cain. Now, the interesting story in the next chapter tells you what? Why is it, we won't go into detail today because I don't want to go there. For my wife, I was going to say that word, but she makes me say it anyway. We know this. Cain came first to give an offering from the ground, and Abel came second to give of the lamb or of an animal. Now, why? Was it something that Cain came up with and Abel followed? Or were they to do this at a specific pointed time? Because see in the first chapter of Revelation, first chapter, the fourth day, what was it about? The Moedim. So there, everything with the Creator, there's always time involved. There's always a certain thing that He has set in motion. And when He came to visit, quote, I use that terminology, Cain, the second time, what did He say to Cain? Where's your brother? Why is he not here? Right? Where's your brother? Not like, oh, where's your brother? Is Abel visiting someplace? No. He was going to come. Abel's supposed to come as Cain. And the firstborn was to present the offering first. And the second one is to present the second offering. But at a specific time. That's why we have him showing up in the book, the fourth chapter. And all of a sudden he's saying, where are you? No. He says, Cain, where's your brother? How come he's not here? It's the same Hebrew phrase. All right? So, we think of the word where and all these things of time. Now, we're at this point where we are, where, see, Adam had an appointment with God in the cool of the evening. a certain point in time. Cain and Abel had an appointment, and they showed up. And second time, we come in here and we see, oh, an awful lot of things are set in time and motion. Do not confuse the Moedim with the holy days. The holy days are among the Moedim. It's not the only Moedim. In the chapter, fourth day, you see there were certain things. Each one of these, the sun was set for a Moedim, the moon was set for a Moedim, and the stars were set for a Moedim. And we kind of know that. Let's get back to Sarah. So when God came, in verse 2, and Sarah conceived and bore Abram a son of his old age at the Moed of which God has spoken to her?
Him.
Father, what does Isaac mean? Or Yitzhak mean? Sorry, what? No. It's got a yod in front of it. Without the yod, then it's just plain laughter. But it's got a yod in front of it, which is a he laughed. Yeah, if it had a tov in front of it, it would be she laughed. But it doesn't. It's got a he laughed. Who laughed? Remember Abram? Abraham laughed. And so actually, that's how he got his name. It was not from what Sarah laughed. It's that he laughed, meaning Abraham laughed. Right? And of course, she says, this is going to give me joy and happiness. That's understand. Verse 3, very fascinating phrase. And it's very important, this phrase, be said. It's very unusual for it to have a clarification the second time. Did you notice the 2 points there? So what are we learning here? And Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah born him, Yitzhak. Wait a minute, didn't we already have that already? It was already born? This is very important. Now, this is the second time this phrase is mentioned. It has to do with the situation with whom? Sarah. So when God came to visit Sarah, if I can use that word, he appointed her to do something. Now, we don't think that, maybe not, maybe yes, maybe no. No, no, no. I believe he really did come, and he really did, in a sense, say something to Sarah. Remember, he came to visit Sarah. He didn't come to visit Abraham. Now, why would God show up to visit Sarah and forget about Abraham? Ever thought about that? He caused you to think, right? And, of course, he circumcised his son on the fourth day. Now, Abraham was how old?
100.
What? How far away from the flood are we?
367.
No, I said 367 when he was 75 years old.
So it's
475. No, no, at 75. You had 75 years more to it. That's right. My correction on that one. But now we have, he is not, we're not too very far removed from the flood, are we? In our minds, we have, the flood was ancient of days ago, but it wasn't. Who was still alive?
Shem
was still alive. Shem outlived Abraham. Now, with that in mind, do you think the flood was evident of something? It was very much real, wasn't it? And what was the name that the Creator said to Abraham? He says, my name is what?
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai. What does Shaddai mean?
Almighty.
The what?
The one that deluges. The one that deluged the world, flooded the world, destroyed everything. All right? So we got to keep in mind, this is how, if you were Abraham and you were Sarah, that's who you would identify with. You would not identify with the other name. You identify with the one who has power, might, and strength enough to reshape the entire world. So the evidence of the world around about them was still very real. Today, what do we think in when there is a devastation? Mother Nature got upset again. We never think of God. We just think of Devin. Back then, they weren't thinking of Mother Nature. Who were they thinking of? Shaddai. The one that brought forth this destruction. All right. Next question. Where is the area that this world calls the cradle of civilization? The same place where Abraham came from, right? Now, said we're only 400 years plus, about that, from the time of the flood. Now, how many people, remember, they started populating with only six, not eight, just six people. How many people do you think was on the face of the earth after 400 years? Billions? Quadrillions? Or maybe, pushing it really hard, you might get a million. Worldwide? No, just there. So we got to keep our numbers in perspective. Now, in this percentage we're seeing here, we're going to go a little bit farther. We're going to go down now to verse 19. I'm going to move along quickly because I do want to have Daniel tabbed up here. Verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abram, scoffing. How old is Ishmael? Abraham was 86 when Ishmael was born. Now he is 100 when Isaac's born. It's a 14-year-old kid. Of course, you know, in our society, when a 14-year-old does something wrong, we say, well, let's have mercy upon him. What did Sarah have? Now listen to Sarah's words, because see this, yes.
Sarah's treating him like an adult.
Correct. Very responsible for his conduct. Now remember, Hagar, did not mock. It was her son that did it. All right? And so, guess what? She said something. What did she say? Verse 10. She said to Abraham, cast out this woman and her son. Why? Why? She gave the reason. What was her reason?
He would not be heir with Isaac.
All right. Heir. Very important word. What does heir mean?
One
that's going to inherit something, okay? Based upon what?
God's promise. And being the firstborn.
Has nothing to do with the firstborn here. This is not a talk about the firstborn here. We'll get into now one of the most controversial places in all the Bible. The book of Galatians. This whole statement she has said, the Apostle Paul used. Why? Why did he bring this? This is a prophetic statement she has made. This is prophecy she is making. Why? Because she was given an appointment to do. She was given an assignment to do. And assignment was, Sarah, I'm visiting you. Your son will be the one who will carry on the promise. Now, it doesn't say that, does it? Of course, he said that to Isaac. I mean, he said it to Abraham. Through Abraham before, it'd be through your loin that the son will come and the promise will come. Now, what is the promise of Abraham?
Father of many nations.
The what?
Father of many nations.
That all the families of the earth will be blessed in him.
Okay.
The land descendants would.
The land. Yes.
Well, he's carrying out all the promise that was given to Shem in the sense that it would be through Abraham that the knowledge of God would be primarily known through his
right.
family, his descendants, that carrying the name of God, Hashem, so to speak.
Well, now let's go to Galatians. I will not read the whole chapter. But in the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter, the Apostle Paul brings up a very controversial and argumenting and hostile statement. Did you notice it?
Galatians.
In fact, you know, when you read the book of Galatians, he seemed to be angry from verse 1 all the way to the very end of the chapter. And the next chapter, and the next chapter. In fact, he seemed to be very upset, doesn't he? It's one of those angry books, one of those angry writings, one of those hostile writings. Let me ask you, was Sarah hostile when she said, get rid of?
Yes.
Yes, she was. She was downright angry. Can't get away with this one right now. Galatians chapter 4. We'll start with verse 1. Okay. What does it say? Now I say the heir, as long as he is child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Now let's put it in our English so we can understand it. All right. Let's move ourselves into the realm of the Apostle Paul for a moment. His time zone, not our time zone. His thinking, not our thinking. His remarks, not our remarks. Right? What was the main issue with he had with the Galatians? Somebody was coming in and he said the very first verse, preaching another gospel, and he doubled the curse on anyone who comes through with another gospel. Pretty powerful statement, don't you think? Very powerful. Now let's go on. Who is the child? Who's the child? With Apostle Paul's thinking now, go back to Apostle Paul's thinking. Who is the child? And who's the slave? Who is the child? And who's verse 1? No difference between the two, right? However, he, the child, is heir or master of all. Okay? You see that? Both the heir and the slave are under the same what? Same
And he caused this, in a sense, under the same guardian and under the same stewards. Verse 2, right? What is a guard? What are the guardians? What are the stewards? You ever ask that question? What is he talking about here? All right, you're coming close. The guardian is the Torah. The stewards are the prophets. Okay? You're going to be tutored, taught by the guardian. The guardian is going to do something. He's going to guard you. He's going to teach you by telling you what the word of the living God has to say to you. The next set is the stewards. What do the stewards, what are the prophets most famous about? They go in and they make judgments. And stewards have to do something. They have to carry out their job as being stewards. What does a prophet do? Man, he's going to tell you exactly what's going to take place if you don't take place. Right? Prophets have the power to do a lot of things. What do prophets have power to do? What did Moses have power to do?
Speak the words of Elohim.
Split the entire water wide open. He had the power by his word. Hey, guess what? The earth opened up and down went some people, killed them. That's what a steward does. He disciplines, he corrects, he teaches, and the others will follow suit. Now, a teacher or a guardian is going to guard you, guide you, teach you, lead you. So now we have these two pictures, these two things are coming through. We have, and, but it's a very interesting statement. What's the last part of verse 2 say?
Until the appointed time of the Father.
Oh, there you go. Until a Moedim of the Father. So Isaac became an inheritor based upon the Moedim of his father. Or in our sense, that the house of Israel, it was still what? A child, and it didn't differ at all from those who were not of the house of Israel. But the house of Israel was to be the masters. Now, when do they become the masters? At the death of the father? No. Why, the father's still alive. In Abraham's life, did Isaac have any power? Did Isaac have any authority? Was Isaac ever a master while Abraham was still alive? Oh, yes, he was. It doesn't take the death of the father to inherit something. God gave you the inheritance before he's dead, right? Inheritance means you get something that the father does, but at a specific appointed time. So Sarah, who received a specific appointed time to conceive and bring forth, but it's not by her will, it's by the promise. Everything that's in the Moedim, whether it's Shabbat, or whether it's the holy days, or whether it's the seasons, they are all related to something called the promise. What do the 12 constellations tell you? This whole earth, our sun and our moon, travel in each location of all 12 of those locations. Why did God do that? It was convenient? No. He told Abraham, look up. The stars are telling you something. Talk to them. They'll talk back. They'll answer your request. So, we have here, verse 3. So then we,
And there, Apostle Paul is not addressing the Galatians here. He says, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, the appointed time has come, God has sent forth his Son from a woman born under the law or the elements of the world to do something, redeem those who are under the law, both the Torah and the prophets, that we might receive an adoption as what?
Sons.
Now, he changes the verb. He changes the pronoun, doesn't he? Preposition, pronoun. Verse 6, because you, all of a sudden now, it's from the we to the ye. Is he talking about two different people? Two different situations? Or is he talking about one and the same thing? Be careful. Apostle Paul's talking about two different things. Apostle Paul is, quote, one of the sons that God, or that are masters, but not yet, until a promise came. Now, when Sarah born Isaac, it was based upon what issue? She said it. The inheritance will belong to. What was Isaac to inherit? He was to inherit the promise. What was the promise? Through you, all mankind will be blessed. That is the promise. The physical land is just that. It proves evidence that he does what he does, but the big issue from the very beginning was, and Sarah knew this, when God visited her, Abel and Isaac was the first one in the number. Abraham was not. He was a call, but now he had to come from him. Then it goes from Isaac and to Jacob and so on and so forth. God places the number where he wants it to be. You understand what I'm saying? He places the appointment where he wants it to be. He places the promise where he wants it to be. So now we're at this point now. All the house of Israel was given a promise. What were they given? What was the house of Israel given? To inherit everything. Yes.
The fact that he's numbering, beginning with Isaac, does that start the numbering of the 400 years to Egypt too?
No, the numbering of 400 goes earlier. Another issue. All right. Of course, now verse 10, it says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. Of course, there's talk about Moedim, right? We're talking about those days, months, and seasons and years. He's got four things listed here, doesn't he? Did you notice that? Not one, but four. I'm afraid for you, at least I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I am like you. Now, verse 21. One of the most controversial statements that Apostle Paul ever said. 21. Did you ever notice what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he say that? I mean, the Apostle Paul thinks the law is what? Something wrong with the law? You were what? Why do you want to return to the what? Why do you want to be under the what?
No.
What law? I gave a sermon about the curse of the law. You remember that? Why would you want to be back under the curse of the law? Let me ask you a question. What would you like to be under? Okay, let's move on with this thing, because the very next verse, 22, he says something. For it is written. Get that, it's written. He didn't come up with this idea. Abraham had two sons. One by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. What is a free woman and what is a bondwoman? What is a free woman? And what is a bondwoman?
Wife and concubine?
No, she was. Hagar was the bondwoman of Sarah, not Abraham.
Her
servant.
Sorry, what?
She was a servant.
Service, all right. What is the difference between the birth of Isaac and the birth of Ishmael? We went through this. Do you remember what I said?
Miraculous. One was by a human. Yeah.
One
by
scripture
God.
Says one is by the will of man, and one is by the will of God.
Okay. Who, be careful now, who suggested that Abram should do this?
Sarah.
Right. Sarah did. All right. Oh, wow. You know? Oh, she made a mistake? No. She had a thing in this hope. Because you know what? Because a promise was given to her husband, and he couldn't use try to use one of his servants as one. No, 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 except that one. Throw that one out. Okay, God may come from your line, as we said. Okay, Sarah says, we understand now. We're going to do God's will. We're going to do what God wants. Fact, he is. The God has spoke to me. Sarah, what did God say? He says, well, God said, Abram, take Hagar my way. Hey, get a child from that one. And that will inherit. Right? Well, what did God say?
Okay, do what you
he
say.
He said, no. No. Now, do you think Abraham and Sarah had to learn something?
Yes.
What did they have to learn?
To do what God says.
Live by every word proceeds out of the mouth of the Creator of heaven and earth. Now, by the way, have any of you ever had a time when you figured, oh, this must be God's will, and you did it, and all of a sudden it just kind of collapsed, backfired, and thrown pieces?
Yeah,
because you know why? You thinking you were doing God's will.
Yeah.
Right? However, you weren't. You're doing your will, your wishes, your desires, to fulfill a promise that God said, I'll promise you this. Right? Instead of waiting upon the Lord to do it. Now, since God said no, we have now 14 years later. Oh, 14 years. She's an old lady by now. Remember, she only had one child, not multitudes. Just one child. And now he goes down. And it says, born according to the flesh. And the one of the free woman was through what? A promise. Now, he relates quickly in this book. He relates Hagar to what?
Flesh.
Mount Sinai. Why? Why doesn't he relate it to something else? What happened at Mount Sinai?
The Torah was given.
The slaves.
So what?
The slaves.
How did they, quote, become, not slaves, bonded? Yes.
Everything you say, we will do.
You got it. Everything you said, we will do. Oh, okay. I will do God's will. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to obey the first commandment, the second commandment, all the way down to the tenth one. I got to do it. Everything you say, I will do. And guess what happens? They never did, so they were bonded. They were now in, since slavery, they were subject to, they were subject to the law. Weren't they? The subject to the law. And what does the law say? If you, I'm going to take your life. You said you would do it, and you said yes, and immediately you turned against me. In fact, it was the following month they turned against him. And lo and behold, the death sentence is now issued. Now, this is what means being under law. Not within it, but under it. Why would you want to go back to the weak and beggarly things of this world? Why would you want to go back to the weak and beggarly things, the Apostle Paul words, of the law? If you go back, guess what the end result is?
Death.
What do you do? Well, now here's the Apostle Paul makes a very clear statement. And he said, I got it here. Maybe I canceled it out. I did. When was the appointed time that the child, verse 1, was now free? When was that appointed time?
When the Messiah came.
When the Messiah came and died. When he took on to that, he took on what?
Condemnation and judgment.
He took on the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
He took on the death sentence, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would you want to return? You have something far greater than that. In Scripture, I won't go there today, but it says there that the Spirit of the Messiah will be with you. What does that mean? What does that mean? What is Spirit? It's life. Spirit is life. So life of the Messiah will be with you. He's already fulfilled that function. So now what do? Are we going to believe the promise that was given to Abraham? If we believe the promise was given to Abraham, what are we then therefore called? Righteous. You went to the thing on righteousness, on what is sanctified, what is holy, what is just. It comes from, in the very beginning here, with Sarah being visited. Without the eternal creator of heaven and earth coming down and visiting, numbering her, appointing her, as he had promised. Remember, the promise was to Abraham, right? Oh, wait a minute. How does Sarah get into this thing? She always was to be part of it, always to be connected with it. But Abraham, it was a lesson for us to know, and also for Sarah, for us to know, you wait. Regardless how old you are. Don't take matters in your own hand, thinking that I'll do God's will and institute something that he promised. When he makes a promise, it's not based upon what the flesh does. It's based upon what?
His word.
His word. Simple as that. His promise is based upon his word, not our actions, not our thoughts, not our deeds. So what happened in the book of Galatians, some people were coming in there who were of the child. All right. Telling the slave, you must therefore, now we use the word circumcision, but not going to go in there and explain what that means, must be now under the rules of the, what happens if you don't get circumcised? What was the issue? You will not receive salvation, physically and spiritually. Salvation is not based upon. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, I want you to think about this. Don't have to answer it. Was Abel circumcised?
No.
Was Noah circumcised?
No.
Was Shem circumcised? Who was the first one being circumcised?
Abraham.
No one else before him. And then Daniel went through the section in the book of Joshua, was it? And for 40 years, guess what they did not do? They did not circumcise themselves. Why? It relates to a promise. Since they didn't receive the promise, now they must walk into the Holy Land, the land that God has given them, and now they must come to a point of, I believe you. And it's called rolling back the approach of Egypt. And they got circumcised. That whole new generation walked in and walked through the Jordan River based upon a promise that was given to Abraham. And they know, and they knew. Okay? So, we're almost finished here. Verse 26 here in Galatians. But Jerusalem is... Wait a minute. I have to go. Verse 24. These are symbolic, for they are what? They are what? What? I thought there was only one. There's only one, right? It just got changed. We got added something. Wait. Is there two or is there one?
One.
That's not what the Apostle Paul says. He says there's two. Did you ever notice that before? There's two. What is the second one? What's the first one? First one was Mount Sinai. That was the agreement. That was a covenant. That was the agreement. And guess what happened with that covenant? It perished. How did it perish? By the death of Jesus, death of Yeshua, it came to an end. Now the second one comes up. What's the second one? Life. Life now comes. Now, do you believe, if I use that word, the promise of God? That through Abraham, you are blessed. You are blessed. Now we come into, does God say, get rid of the Ten Commandments?
No.
What does he say? Paul says in Romans, we are to and establish. I tell you, none of us in this room can establish the Ten Commandments in our mind or in our heart without the Spirit of the Messiah in us fulfilling it and working it out, helping us grow in grace and knowledge. That wasn't part of the first covenant. But it definitely is the second one, isn't it? We don't throw away the Word of God. We now can live in it. We can live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So now, why would you want to go back to the beggarly things which you do not have the Spirit of God with you? He says, you have it now. You are, he says here in the book of Galatians, you are now heirs of the promise. What's the promise? Yes.
We don't have to live on death row anymore. We don't
have to live on death row anymore. You're not dead men walking. We're living people. He says, rejoice. Verse 28, 26 is the second covenant. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. It is a mother of us all. Did you see that? What about the Jerusalems on this earth? Isn't it our mother? Not according to Paul. What does Jerusalem mean? The city of Shalom. Now, we're talking shalom with God. not shalom with man, trying to be shalom with man. Men don't know what peace is all about. They try to figure it out. They try to institute the will of God and institute their shalom. And guess what? It turns into war, chaos, and confusion. You can't get there from here with the one that says, the mother of us all. All right. Verse 27 says, rejoice, O barren. You who do not bear in the flesh, bring forth and shout, you are not, you who are not in labor. For the desolate, that means the one that doesn't have, will have many more than those who have a husband. Many more. Is he talking to the flesh, or is he talking about something else? See, the Spirit of the living God, when he put into us the Spirit that is holy, and in Greek it says, the Spirit, the holy, really nailing it down. The Father is what? Just a Spirit? Or is the Father holy? Right? He's holy. Okay. What else about the Father? What else describes the Father? You must worship him in what?
Spirit.
Now, how can we, quote, have multitudes of spirits in us? There's only one that's going to give us life. And that same spirit, Apostle Paul says there in the book of Romans, if that spirit that is in the Messiah is in you, you will have life. Do you have the spirit of the Messiah in you? I hope you do. Now, nevertheless, cast it out. Now, we're going to go back real quick now to Genesis. Genesis 21. Back at Genesis 21, where we're at. And we'll have to continue this next week. But I want to end this one with a thought in your mind. Genesis 21, verse 11. Who was upset?
Abraham.
Why was Abraham upset? Because of his son. But then what did Elohim say?
Don't be upset.
Don't be upset.
Don't be afraid.
And what else did he say?
Listen to Sarah.
Listen to Sarah. Man, you know, we don't have to do that. We're the head of a household. We're the head of man. We're the head of a woman. Oh, wait a minute. The eternal creator of heaven that said to what, Abraham?
Listen to your wife.
You listen to her. Why? Because verse 1 of the 21st chapter is Elohim came and spoke to Sarah, visited Sarah, and let her know she is going to bring forth. The promise will be carried through her. I'll go back to Eve. Remember Eve?
Mm-hmm.
What did it say?
She's going to be mother of all the living. She's going to be mother of
That's what
all
Adam called her.
Yeah.
What did God say?
Her
seed will come forth and crush the head. In fact, it says kill. Literally kill, smoke out the life of the serpent. So we see here that it is a word of promise, isn't it? I said last week, what came first, the chicken or the egg? What came first, the tree or the seed? He created them both. Now, who came first, Adam or Eve? She was hidden within.
Yeah.
The seed is hidden within the tree, and the egg is hidden within at the point of creation. That's why it says there, and people listen to what I'm trying to tell you, what it says there in the very first chapter on the eighth day, and it says, he created them, male and female. However, the next chapter talks just about male. Don't underestimate that the woman was, oh, I forgot. Got to pull out of him. Got to pull out of him. Yes, God did pull the woman out of the man. Now, guess what? From that seed comes forth you and me. She was pulled out, fully in charge, capability with an egg within her. Well, that means Adam, when God created Adam, inside of him was this hidden life. So I spoke to you before. Jesus used a very simple parable, right? What was the parable about the tree? The mustard seed. Now, when you look at a mustard seed, what are you supposed to see?
Not much.
You see a tree. You must see a tree. That's where your faith is based upon something that's extremely solid on the Creator who's created something, and you can look at a seed. When you plant a seed in the ground, you have, quote, if I use that word, living faith. It's going to come up. Not as a seed, but as a plant. Maybe a tree. You get to eat pieces of the wood. And take an apple. You're like, when you eat an apple, you eat a piece of the wood. But you're eating a piece of the seed. And that's the reason why, from her, Eve, onward, man now comes from the hidden seed. And we, if we're hidden within the Messiah, you're not going to be seen. You ever thought about that? When will we be revealed? At his coming. Yeah. At his coming. And then we will be see him as he is, for we will be as he is.
Amen.
And you look at your flesh, and we have a hard time with the flesh because we get injured, we get sick. We vomit. Maybe we get happy. Maybe we have a wonderful time. Our hair is falling out. Oh, got to put makeup on, make it look better. Well, our flesh has got to be gorgeous and beautiful. But basically, it's going to go under.
Amen.
But when you get buried into the grave, and the old English word is hell, literally into a hole in the ground, and you wait, do you believe something's going to come out of there that doesn't look like you? Yeah, that's what it says. And that's what you have when you have living faith. Now, so we come back to Sarah here real quickly. And when God came to visit her, what do you think she thought? Oh, no. Wait a minute. Remember she mocked before? He came and visited her. Inside of you, I can use, I'm paraphrasing this, and inside of you, Sarah, is the promise. It's going to come from you as it was promised to Eve. Mm-hmm. It wasn't promised to Adam, but it came from him, but yet really came from a seed that was hidden within him, and that's the woman. Now, let me ask you a question. Before I close. How many of you, don't ask the question then, how many of you look at your wife as though she is a blessing? Oh, why would you not look at her in any other way? She was hidden. And when she was revealed, what did Adam say? Oh, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. She is me. She is part of me. I am part of her. We are now echad. And it wasn't a curse. It was a blessing. The curse came from the Satan. When he told a lie.